The first reading is taken from James chapter 5, reading from verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Reading from Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 2. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the spoken word, may Jesus Christ, the living word, be praised and glorified in our lives. For his name's sake, amen. Now last week, you heard from Peter Williams about hope and the universal rule of Christ. It's down to earth with a bump this week, definitely from the glass half full, which is Peter's style, to the glass half empty, which my wife and others will tell you is more like me. And the title we are considering is Patience in the Face of Suffering. Now we've heard a few verses from the letter of James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. And you also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, be called blessed those who showed endurance. Now, this is not the first time in that short letter that James refers to this topic. Chapter 1, right at the start of it, we read, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, the letter was written, it is believed, by James, the brother of the Lord. sometime before 62 AD, Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that that particular James was martyred at that time. The James who's mentioned in the book of Acts as being martyred by Herod was a different one. The context of this letter is perhaps that Christians were being persecuted by the Jewish authorities, booted out of the synagogues, maybe also by the Romans, who decided they weren't Jews and therefore weren't entitled to the privileges that Rome extended to the Jews. So life was not easy for the infant church. And down the succeeding centuries, until the conversion of the Roman Emperor Constantine, it would be very difficult times. In this respect, it mirrored the experience of the Jewish people in the preceding centuries, as the verses from the letter of James indicate. It seems that a living faith in God is often accompanied by difficulties. Now, St. Paul wrote similarly in the letter to the Romans, chapter 5. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, some Christian preachers in the past, and perhaps today as well, have fallen into the trap of suggesting that if you believe in Jesus, all your problems will be solved. Life will be easy and prosperous, the so-called prosperity gospel. Now, I have to tell you that this is a pernicious and very dangerous heresy. It is absolutely not true. Now, the readings for daily readings for morning prayer this week have been coming from the prophet Isaiah, in fact, for all of Advent. They deal with a very difficult period of Israel's history. Angela Chilby, a fairly well-known Christian writer and broadcaster for Radio 4, Addicts, you will hear her quite often, she commented on this passage, on one passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. She said this: "We somehow expect that God's care will show itself in ironing out our difficulties and solving our problems. We expect to be rewarded for our faith. But the reward of faith is not always experienced in the present, even in the course of this lifetime. We are often asked to shoulder long-term problems and uncertainties, bearing them in a spirit of trust and submission. It is through receiving the bread of adversity and the water of affliction that we learn to recognize and accept God as our teacher, master, and Lord." Now, those poetic and difficult phrases, the bread of affliction and the water of adversity, come straight from the prophet Isaiah. Now, suffering has always been one of the great stumbling blocks of the faith for many. And the message that it is an inescapable part of Christian discipleship is hugely unacceptable and unpalatable. Many, many books and sermons have been offered on this subject down the centuries, and indeed, I should think every year, many sermons and another book. There is no simple answer to it. Now, part of the answer, but only part, is that some suffering is an inevitable part of being physical, mortal human beings with a beginning and an end to this life. Pain is a warning that we put our hand on the hot stove or whatever, or the cat's bitten us, or whatever it may be. Suffering is the reverse side of the coin, the other side of which is physical pleasure. Another part of the answer, but again only a part, is that God is to be loved for himself and his qualities, not for what we can get out of him. If faith produced automatic prosperity, health, and happiness, who would not believe? It'd be a no-brainer. Now, someone commenting on this topic wrote, The ultimate solution to pain and suffering in this life is not found in this life. I'll say that again for you. I had to think about it when I read it. The ultimate solution to pain and suffering in this life is not found in this life. James wrote of suffering and patience. Now, patience is a virtue that is in very short supply and quite rare these days. Though the truth is, it's never been very common, even amongst God's faithful people. If you read the Psalms, you will find plenty of intemperate expressions of impatience with the psalmist's situation and God's apparent lack of activity, alongside the psalmist's prayers of trust and hope. Try this for size from Psalm 44. Rouse yourself! Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake! Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? You can just hear the psalmist raging on about something which he's put up with for longer than he thinks is fair. Patience is something to pray for and work at. It is the first characteristic of love mentioned in Paul's very famous hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit listed in the letter to the Galatians in chapter 5. It is particularly hard to exercise when we are frustrated or in pain or suffering injustice. Now, these things are as much part of discipleship today as they were 1,950 years ago when the letter was written. The current Archbishop of York was beaten up by Idi Amin's thugs and had to flee with his family when, as a High Court judge in Uganda, he refused to do Amin's bidding because it was wrong. And who can forget those 21 Coptic Christian men beheaded by ISIL on a beach in Libya in 2015, the preamble being videoed for public consumption? Now, these things are extreme. Of course they are. Less extreme, but also hard to bear, is the insidious discrimination against Christians who are overt in their faith. Not everybody, but some. We remember Tim Farron, ousted as Liberal Democrat leader because of his evangelical faith. Or more recently, Robert Flello, ousted as a parliamentary candidate because he held traditional views on abortion and gay marriage. The sad fact is that our modern liberally minded, and I don't mean that in the political sense, society is tolerant of everything apart from that with which it doesn't agree. And that often includes some quite fundamental and basic Christian beliefs about life, relationships, business ethics, and so on. Now, I don't know whether Johnny suffers from ridicule or persecution in his school. Some schools are very tolerant. Others are really quite nasty to children who are known to be Christians. If you stand up for what you believe, you may well be picked on. There may be no physical suffering, but that's not the only kind of suffering we're called upon to endure with patience. The patience that is called for, however, is not so much passive acquiescence to situations of oppression and injustice, as it is active confidence in God, whose promises extend to human beings in every context and in every situation. Let me finish with some quotations. Marvelous what you can pick off the internet when you search, type in the sermon title, and all sorts of stuff comes up. Spiritual endurance or perseverance is the mark of a committed Christian. Endurance is a spiritual trait that comes from inner confidence in God's presence, no matter where we are or what is going on around us. And this one, you cannot know God until he puts you in a place that demands trust and patience. And finally, patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. I did like that, so I shall repeat it and then conclude. Patience is a calm endurance based on a certain knowledge that God is in control. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.